Thank you for being with us, taking this time. I'm going to bring the Word of God to you and a word from God for you also. So I'm glad you're here with us tonight. Those of you that maybe it's your first time to either be here in service or to be watching online this evening, please come to this powerful church. It's here in Knoxville. If you live anywhere in this Knoxville area, you should come to this church. If I lived in this area, I would make this church my home church. I truly believe what I'm saying. I know these pastors. They are powerful people of God. They do not just go to church and preach and receive offerings and go home. They fast and pray and believe God for your breakthrough. That's an amazing thing. This church has that reputation. They're people who pray, and God answers prayer. And you may be at that moment this evening where you're just not sure where your answer is going to come from. You might be having some of that problem and that anxiety in your life, or just an attack from the devil, or maybe it's a self-inflicted wound of some kind that you've done to your own self by an action that you did or did not take. I've got good news for you. We serve the God who knows how to get you out of a bind. He knows how to take a little stone and kill a big giant. He knows how to make an impossible wall fall when a person obeys Him and takes those steps of faith that He begins to talk about. And I'll speak about it this evening to you from the Word of God some. And I believe that you're watching and you're viewing this evening by the plan of God. You're not watching by accident. I've said for years, the devil will never have somebody watch one of these services, because we show you how to get victory over all of that dominion, because the Word of God teaches that. Jesus said, "I've come that you can have life." One translation says you have authority in life. Jesus said all authority was given unto Him. Then He put it in His name and gave it unto you. But because of a lack of knowledge, people do not operate in that. But in the name of Jesus, I believe God is opening our eyes. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that we are changed into His image as we look into Him. And we are fed the Word of God. We are changed into that very image that we see. How do you see Jesus? Is He the healer? Or is He just Mary's son who got beat to death and crucified and buried? Do you see Him as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings? Do you see Him as the Savior, the Messiah? Do you see Him as Emmanuel, God, with us today? How do you see Him? You look into that, the Bible says, and you start getting changed. He changes you a little bit more every day. First of all, you give your life to Jesus. If you've never been born again, that is an act of faith. It's not an emotion. It's an act of faith. It may bring on an emotion, but it's an act of your will and something that you do by faith, because you recognize that Jesus is the answer. When you say yes to Him as Lord, and then you begin to look into Him through the Word of God and through prayer and through fellowship with others that have that are in that same path that you're changing and developing by the presence and the Spirit and the Word of God, what happens is you begin to change. Those things that you do not think can come off of your life, I'm telling you, our God specializes in setting the captives free. Whatever has you bound up, get ready to be free from it. Is it an addiction? Is it a habit of some kind? Is it mental? Is it spiritual? Whatever it is, get ready in the name of Jesus to get set free, because if the Son of God sets you free, you are absolutely free. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, tonight's the night of freedom. Come on, let them know. I'm not going to preach long, but I am going to share some powerful things from the Word of God for you today. I'm not sure where you're viewing and watching from. Once again, if you're anywhere in this Tennessee area, this region, Knoxville or this region, please come to this church. Be a part of this church, and I promise you, give them 6 months. Just come to this house for 6 months and tell me it hadn't been worth it to you. If after 6 months it's not worth it to you, then just come up to that pastor and say, I'm going to give you 6 more months too, because I know I have an answer right here coming in Jesus' name. There's an answer. If God's done it for one, He will do it for everyone. He will do it for you. Somebody needs to hear that this evening. Put the gun down. Put the pills down. Put the syringe down. Get rid of that stuff. Don't die. Live. Jesus came to give you life, the Bible says. To give you life. Something else is trying to give you hell. It's trying to give you death. But Jesus, don't you love that name? Wow. It just does something in the atmosphere, right? right where you're watching this evening, I feel strongly about this. Put down that thing that can hurt you and start listening intently. In the name of Jesus, you're going to live and not die. And you're going to give that testimony of what God has done. Maybe that's the reason God had us do service on this cold night, this icy night, just so the Word of God would get to you. He is the same. Jesus is the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be tomorrow. You can risk trusting Him because He never changes. He cannot tell a lie, and He loves you so much, He shed His own blood for you. What a good God. What a good God we serve. He has a beautiful plan for your life. Not just for this moment, but to give you a successful conclusion, the Bible says. He'll bless you in the journey. 3 John 2, one of the great epistles of the Bible in the New Testament. 3 John, there's only one chapter there. Verse 2 says, Beloved, this is God writing to the church. He's writing to us tonight. He's writing to us in here this evening. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you can prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. Now that's a word for the body of Christ. God, if He prioritizes His desire for you, He wrote it down for us. He said, I desire that you prosper. I may not know your exact a role that God has for you in life, but I know this, He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to prosper. You can take and break that word down in the Greek. I enjoy Greek word and Hebrew word studies and all of that. And I'm going to tell you what it says. He wants you blessed. Prosper. And be in health. Just think about that. Two-thirds of Jesus' recorded miracles in the four Gospels were physical healing miracles. I know He came to save our soul, but He quickly identified His own character and His plan through His healing ministry. He's the God who heals and makes whole. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to tell you a couple of stories very quickly. And let me just say one more thing. If you ever get in the Houston, Texas area, between Houston and Galveston, there's a little community right on Interstate 45 South. I'm about 15 minutes from Johnson Space Center and NASA and all of that, which is in Webster Clear Lake. And then there's League City, and then there's Dickinson, and then there's Lamarck, and all of that's in about a five-mile stretch of property right there. You go into that many towns. I think there's 13 of them right in that area there. And people come to our church from over 25 cities around that area. It's a highly populated area in the region of Texas. And so Lamarck is the name of it, L-A-M-A-R-Q-U-E. It's a French term, Lamarck. It was a nautical term of some kind also, they tell me, long before, because we're a coastal town. And so when Jean Lafitte and when Blackbeard or Bluebeard, one of the pirates, used to come in and out of that area there, they supposedly hid their treasures up there. I keep confessing that God will reveal to us the secrets of the hidden treasures, the Bible says. Isaiah says it, and I'm claiming it. Glory to God. I'm going to go out there with a golf club one day and hit a big divot, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. You know, you just don't ever know. Something good can happen. Who knows? I don't know what's buried under that soil. Some of it I don't want to know about. But anyway, always follow us on Instagram and on Facebook. You can go to Walter Hallam, or you can go to Abundant Life Christian Center, either one, and you'll see that. Thank you for doing that on YouTube and all of those things. Thank you for doing that. I'm not selling anything. I'm just talking to you, and I'd love to have your presence anytime you want to view that. Praise the Lord. In the book of Luke, chapter 13 this evening, I'm going to go quick because I want you to get home before the freeze takes place, and so you'll come back to church tomorrow night. Luke chapter 13, I had an experience. I tell about it rarely. And I think once before I mentioned it here in one of the previous times when I had the honor of being here with pastors and with his church. And so in 2002, January 17th, 2002, I had an 18-year-old daughter, and she was in an airplane. The airplane went down, and she went to heaven. She was a freshman in college, a junior high youth minister. She was a powerful little lady in Christ, and all, and she went to heaven, and we were devastated. And you've experienced the loss of a loved one, so maybe you understand that. Cindy and I, my beautiful wife, now of 48 years, her and I have been married 48 years. I was the captain of the football team, and she was the head twirler. And we got married in a fever. Hallelujah. And glory to God. We've been married all those years, and thank God for the fire, too. And what a great blessing. And so we raised three daughters. And today we have seven grandchildren. I have two wonderful son-in-laws that are in ministry with us. We own a couple of radio stations also, and one of our son-in-laws runs the radio stations and all those things. And also Clear Life Media. Some of you may have heard of Clear Life Media. Well, that's actually one of our companies. But that being said, God's just been so good to us and blessed us in a lot of things. But I had a daughter, my middle daughter, she went to heaven, and it was devastating. We were just devastated beyond belief. And so I was praying, crying, doing everything that you can to stay sane in those kind of moments, and trusting God. To this day, I've never asked God why. Never will ask him why. So I wrote a book called The Big Why. Get it online. You'll enjoy it if you ever need to tell somebody why something good might happen to somebody, why someone who is good can have something bad happen to them, and how to overcome that and how to live victorious. And so the reason is quite simple, because there's a bad devil and there's warfare that goes on. And sometimes there's casualty in warfare. And talk to the Apostle Paul about it. Talk to Peter, James, and John about it. Talk to John the Baptist about it. Sometimes there's warfare. And it's interesting. But that being said, on the 40th day, early in the morning, Jesus appeared to me and stood beside my bed and began to talk to me. I totally was petrified. I was paralyzed. I couldn't move. And begin to talk to me. And I'm not going to tell you all the things that he said, but it was very, some of it was very personal, and some of it was extremely spiritual to me. And one thing he said to me, he said, "I know exactly how you feel. I lost three of my top leaders, and it was unjust." Jesus said that to me. "I lost three of my top leaders, and it was unjust." John the Baptist, that was unjust what happened to John the Baptist. It was unjust. You'll see in the scriptures, there's several things that, but I'm trying not to get too distracted on this, because it's a story that maybe you might someday want to hear, but today's not the time to tell the whole thing. But then the Lord said to me, he said, "Now there's four reasons that something bad can happen to someone good, and you can see how to overcome that in the Word of God." He said, "Go to Luke 13 and read it." And so I've grown up in the Word of God. I was memorizing scriptures before I was 5 years old. I've memorized thousands of scriptures. My mother and father pastored 50 years. I grew up in a pastor's home, a Holy Ghost pastor's home. It was a great privilege. I have six brothers and sisters that grew up in the house of God, who serve God and live for God still today. They're all living, and them and their families serve God and live for God. My parents, of course, are in heaven. And believe it or not, I'm probably older than most of you in here. Everybody say, "I don't believe that." Come on, say it. Well, afraid it's true. So, but what a great blessing. God's been good. And the Lord said that to me. He said, "Go to Luke 13. And so I went to Luke 13 the next day. And that's all I'll say about that visitation. And it says, there were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said, "Suppose you see these Galileans? Were sinners above the rest of the Galileans just because they suffered such things? I tell you, no." He said, "But except you repent, you shall also likewise perish." An interesting statement. For the sake of time, political systems and governments that are against God, those who place themselves in authority and turn their back on God, can cause bad things to happen to good people. That's the first two verses of Galatians 13. I promise you, it goes on all over the world today. Persecution on levels that are unbelievable, and levels of abuse of authority today. That's why it's important that we as Christians ask God to give us wisdom on who we're supposed to vote for and who we're supposed to support, not because we think they have the best character, but because we think they will uphold the word of the principles of the kingdom of God to the best of a man's or woman's ability in an office of authority. So I'm not telling you who to vote for. That's not the kind of preacher I am and all of that kind of stuff. But I am telling you that if they stand against the Ten Commandments, I'm not voting for them. Just that simple. So we vote the Bible. We don't vote the personalities. We vote the scriptures. We vote the Bible. And then you'll notice it says in verse 4, or what about those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them? Think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, something like this could happen to you. King James uses the word likewise. That doesn't mean a tower is going to fall on you. That tower fell. They were there. They were probably standing in the shadow of that tower because they didn't have air conditioning. And when the tower fell, it was an accident. We live in a world today where accidents can happen because there is a curse in operation on planet Earth. Is anybody tracking with me right here for a minute? And so it is possible that an accident can actually happen because there is a curse in manifestation. Now, thank God you and I are redeemed from the curse. We get to go to heaven. But we still have to get victory over situations on a regular basis. I don't care who you are. Thank God you can walk in divine health. But there are times, because there is a curse in operation on planet Earth, there are times when you're just going to have to get well. That's why Jesus had stripes placed on his back, not so you would never have to experience a sickness, but so you could have victory over that experience when you have that, if you ever have that come in your life. Thank God he redeemed us. He bought us back from the ability of that thing to pin you down forever. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. And then the third thing he said, also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser, the keeper of his vineyard, I'll call that the church, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it? Why does it weaken the ground? He said it's not producing. It's surviving, but it's not producing. Just cut it down because it's taking that out of the ground. I own a company. I'm a part owner of a company. It's an amazing company. I don't have time to talk about this one deeply, but just to say, we have a particular bacteria that we can put on a plantation. You can put it on a wheat farm. You can put it on anything like that. We're doing a big thing in Belize right now. It's amazing. The way this particular bacteria, it goes around what's called it's called the unisphere around the root system of these commercial farmers around their plants. And it revitalizes that whole little system around each one of those roots, unclogs the little small roots and those kind of things like that. It's a living bacteria that is biodegradable. But it takes away, it destroys everything that's trying to destroy the soil. It's an amazing thing that it does. Well, right here the scripture says that unproductive tree is encumbering the soil right there. And Jesus, the head of the church, is who gave us this illustration, this example. And so he must know what he's talking about. Can I have an amen? Amen? And so the plan was to cut it down. But then someone at Knoxville Christian Center began to intercede. Thank you for your hearty support. And someone answered him and said, Lord, come on, somebody shout Lord. Let it alone one more year. Leave it for this year. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. Does anybody know what dung is? Are you sure? I'll spell it to you backwards. P-O-O-P, backwards. Until I dung it. And if it bear fruit, then good. And if not, then after that you shall cut it down. And then he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. And I'm going to focus on that in a moment. He was teaching. This is the fourth thing. And there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Why do bad things happen to good people? Is somebody going to church on the Sabbath day? They're doing what they do, know to do that we have recorded to pursue God and to know God. And here they are with a spirit, a demonic attack of infirmity, of sickness, of illness of some kind for 18 years. And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Everybody shout straight. Straight. Come on, just stay straight. Straight. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Four things he talks about there. The one I want to talk about just for a moment is this tree that was there for 3 years. How many of you know Pastor Bob Rogers? How many of you know Pastor Bob? He's a very dear friend of mine, of course. I know he is. Pastor Barry's here in this church. And so last month in December, when I was preparing things for 2024, that we do a big watch night service, and I take time and I minister what I believe direction and some things that I feel prophetically for the year. I'll try to talk about some of that tonight and then tomorrow night and the next night. You don't want to miss that. And God began to speak to me, and I began to write things down in threes. I just have pages of things. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And so I'm writing these things down. The Lord began to talk to me in threes. And I write. I'm a writer. I write everything. I still use pencil and pen. I just in paper. I like doing that. I can text as fast as anybody probably, just about, except a teenager. But outside of that, I enjoy writing. It seems like it helps me in memory. It always has, and that's kind of how I'm wired. So anyway, I was writing these things down. God was speaking to me, and I'd been seeking the Lord for about a month just for direction and understanding for this coming year personally and in our church and ministry and in some things. And it just started rolling and just rolling out of me, and I'm just sitting there writing it down, and my phone rings. It's Pastor Bob Rogers. And so Pastor Bob says to me, he says, "Walter, do you know what 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is?" I said, "No, I don't know what 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 is, if it's something unique." And he said, "Well, just think about it. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I said, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. He said, 12/31/23. It's the last night of the year, the last day of the year. I said, "Well, I never thought of it like that." So I began to do some research and begin to think on some things. I said, "Man, this is blowing me away. You got 1, 2, 3 and 1, 2, 3. And I'm sitting here with pages of 1, 2, 3s. Then I'm writing them down. So I felt for sure that the Lord was speaking some things to me. Somebody shout hallelujah. And I began to study. And in Acts chapter 27, the Bible, when Paul was on the way to Rome and they began to get shipwrecked. And before it happened, he said, I perceive that there's going to be some problems. Some things are going to take place. Everybody shout perceive. It's interesting because sometimes God will speak to you in a dream. Sometimes God can give you a prophetic word. God can give you a vision. And he uses the word right here, perceive. Pastor, it's an interesting word. It's the word we get theory from. It's the word theorio, T-H-E-O-R-E-O in the Greek, theorio. And it just literally means to perceive, to behold, to see inside, to perceive something. More than once you see it in the scripture. And God began to speak to him, and when he began to talk, he said, "I saw something inside, I perceived something, that something's going to happen." And he begins to talk about there'll be storms, and there'll be deliverances, and there'll be revival that will take place. And ultimately the whole island that he washed up on got saved, and there's still believers there today. Come on, shout hallelujah. Which is interesting. And there was a woman at the well of Samaria. You know the story of the woman at the well. And she said, "I perceive, speaking to Jesus, that you are a prophet." Well, she didn't have a vision, and she didn't have a dream. And she didn't get a prophetic word, though. She's talking to the creator of the universe standing there, you know. But she said, I perceive. I see something on the inside. You are a prophet. You've been sent here from God. And sometimes we want bells and whistles to go off. And we love the dream and the vision. And some of those experiences are obviously they're life-altering. But can I just remind you that you can be in the presence of God. You've been fasting now for 3 weeks or more. And you've been getting closer to God because you kind of closed down the voice of your stomach. Jesus said, out of your innermost belly flow some things. You've got, I'm not so sure that your soul is not connected to your core right here. Somewhere in there. And when you go through certain things, sometimes that you ought to be seeking God about, instead, your carnal mind, your soul, oftentimes will tell you, give me chocolate. Give me food instead. And it sedates what the answer that you would get if you were actually crying out to God from there. Because you train your brain to respond a certain way. I'm preaching better than you're amening, and I'm not trying to get too deep. I'm just telling you that a lot of times what goes in your head starts in your stomach. That's just the way it is. And so if you understand how that dynamic begins to work, and more than once we understand that the soul seems to be in the middle of your being. And out of that should be flowing rivers of life-giving water, not just flowing into the pie hole up here. Come on, look at somebody and say, I wish I'd have stayed home too. You might know he'd preach on this. And so as they begin to seek the Lord, you begin to find some things. And this woman at the well, she had a perception on the inside, but it was a God perception. Acts chapter 8, verse 23, one of the great stories of the Bible. The book of Acts, when Peter and Justice, whatever his name was, Simon the sorcerer, when he got saved and he gets converted and he gets water baptized, but he's a brand new believer and he's been in witchcraft and he's been all of those kind of sorcery, and now he's following Peter and John around and he's listening to them and he's watching them get people baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says to Peter, I'll give you money if you'll show me how to get people to get the Holy Ghost by laying hands on them. And Peter said unto him, I perceive you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, because you thought the Holy Ghost could be bought with money. Now, I'm of the opinion that Simon was such a novice Christian that he didn't know what in the world he was doing, and that his whole life had been built around somehow or another working with people for money. And so when he sees them doing that, he's following them around. He's thinking, well, maybe that's the shortcut. How many of you know you can't buy your way to promotion in the kingdom of God? And he said, I perceive. Peter said, I perceive. Theorio, I can see it in here. That what you're doing is because you were in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. When you're fasting and praying, listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because there are things, and it's an interesting thing, somewhere in his life, Simon had bitterness in him, and he was linked up to his iniquity. His iniquity, of course, are those weaknesses, internal weaknesses, that for a particular sin or sins that generally can be passed on, the Scripture says, to the third and fourth generation. Well, how many of you are glad God keeps mercy with 1,000 generations? But the Scripture's real plain. So this guy's a brand new convert. He hadn't been saved very long, obviously. And now he's seeing this, and he says, I want to do that. And Peter says to him, I perceive, here's your problem. You need to get delivered and set free. You are in the gall of bitterness. If we had time, I'd take you to the Greek real quick and show you that word pikria. It actually is the word we get our word poison from. He says, there's something inside of you, and you have from your past life. You're still there. You're still bound. You're in the gall of that, and you're in the bond of iniquity. And that word is a fascinating word, syndesmos, and it literally means a connecting ligament. It's a medical term. It'd be like having you got a joint right here, and that joint is connected by a ligament and a tendon, and so it holds it together. And he's saying to him, Simon, your past life, you're still linked up and coupled up to some things from your past life that I'm telling you will destroy you if you don't get set free from them. Is anybody listening to this tonight? Listen, when the Holy Ghost talks to you, let him set you free. And if you've been in fasting and prayer, I promise you the Son is going to set you free. If you got bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt, weaknesses in your life, all those kind of things, why not in your weakness there let God heal you and make you strong? And just get strong right there. Now, I'm of the opinion that Simon repented. The Bible doesn't say if he doesn't or not, but I just know the mercy of God. And I believe if his heart was right, if Peter said that, because Simon said, please pray for me that I don't go get that judgment on me. And I'm sure Peter's saying, all right, look, I'm going to teach you how to pray also. You're going to have to learn that to get set free from this bond of iniquity and this gall of bitterness, this poison that you have on the inside. I'm not asking for a show of hands. Maybe somebody's looking online. All I can tell you is this, that bitterness over that divorce, that bitterness over that hurt feeling, that bitterness over that loss of a family member, that bitterness over you didn't get the job, someone did you wrong, all of that stuff. I know you have the right to feel that way because, you know, you're just living in America and you can feel any way you want to, so to speak. But I promise you, there's a penalty that goes along with that. It is like a poison on the inside, the Bible says. Let it go in Jesus' name. Pray. Seek God. That's what fasting and prayer does. It changes you. If you don't think poison on the inside, emotional poison, if you don't think that will change you, you're highly deceived. But on the other hand, if getting free from that and you begin to get changed into the image of the Lord, His joy, His love, forgiveness, repentance, all of the wonderful qualities that Jesus died, defeated hell and rose from the dead to give us the right to get set free from those things. If you don't understand, that won't change you. I promise you, what today looks set in stone and unchangeable, it could be generational according to the Word of God, but the Son will set you free in Jesus' name. He's the same yesterday, today, somebody shout forever. Forever. Glory to God. He is the same forever. He's doing that. You call upon Him. You say, how do I do it? Well, how does anyone ever do that? You call upon the Lord. Lord, God, I come to you. Hear me. Forgive me. Help me. Save me. Set me free. Jesus, you can do that. I give you my life. I give you my soul, Jesus. You've got a great plan for me. I heard a redheaded preacher talk about it. I know it's real. The Bible talks about it. Lord, set me free. That kind of prayer. It's wonderful what God will do in your life. And He will not turn you away. Don't let the devil tell you that you've done so much wrong and you don't want anyone to ever know about that. Don't tell it to anybody else. Tell it to the Lord. Let God set you free from it. Just let the Lord. You don't have to tell me about it. I don't want to know about it. Well, what would telling me about it do? What good would that do? No, no, no. Give it to God. Get right with God. Get real with God. Watch His love and His power begin to work in your life. In Luke 13, we just read a moment ago, and I perceive the Holy Spirit is talking about it right now. He said there was a man that had a vineyard, and he had a garden. The Apostle Paul writes and says, we are the husbandry. I love King James. The word husbandry is the Greek word for garden. We're the garden of God. You are. You're the garden of God. And God, He cultivates that through all of this process. And Jesus begins to talk about how bad things can happen unless we turn and give it to God. You say, well, something bad is probably going to happen to me later in life, or something bad's going to happen. I just have this unlucky streak, or it's like I have a dark cloud over my head. Can I just encourage you to hear something right now? God says when you repent that he will lift that off of you. Now, I don't know what it is that hell has tried to condemn you with and put you in bondage and captivity, link you up to, hold you there. But the idea that, well, I know it's kind of going okay today, but I know something bad's going to happen tomorrow, that's a lie from the devil. Here's what the Bible says. The scripture says they had gone 3 years and they had not taken care of the ground. There was something they were lacking that they didn't do. It's that way in our life. Maybe we didn't pray. Maybe we weren't seeking God. Maybe there were some areas that we just held on to that we knew we should have let go of, or some we should have gotten a hold of and we rejected it. There was something there in the garden of your life that for 3 years, like 2001, 2002, 2003, 2021, 22, 23, and God says, okay, that's enough. But somebody prayed. And someone interceded and God said, all right, one more year. One more year. I tell you in the name of Jesus, 2024 is your year. It's your one more year if you hear what God is saying. He knows how to cause your life. Years ago, God gave me a powerful word. It was a powerful prophetic word. He said, I can make previously dead fields produce harvest. Oh, it was a powerful word for me. I just got lit on the inside when he said it. Maybe that didn't mean anything to you, but if it did, just receive it for yourself. God knows how to make those dead areas that seem like have just been grown over in life and nothing but the weeds and the thorns have grown up, and you know it's got capacity, it's got ability there, but stuff is there. God is saying, break up the fallow ground. Come on, go ahead and begin to cultivate it. Make sure that the thorns and the thistles of life do not choke the word and it become unfruitful. God says right here, here's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to give you one more year. Come on, somebody shout, one more year. Can you feel that? Is this your year? No, come on, is that in your spirit? Is this your year for the blessing of the Lord? God will give you instruction. Right here, he's instructing us. He's talking to us. God knows how to reverse years of lack of productivity. There'll be some type of a shift. I mean, you can't put new wine in old vessels. That's one of the biggest problems that we have in the body of Christ. We're asking God for the new move of God and with old wine. Old vessels. Oh, I have to let that sink in. Are you listening to me? Give God something new to work with. Well, come on, do something new. So ask God for direction and understanding in those areas in your life, in your marriage some way, and in your business or whatever it is you're doing in your personal ministry that God's given you. Lord, show me that direction. And here's what God will say. Well, I tell you what, let's do. There's some unproductive areas there, Walter. So here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to break that up. You're going to have to dig around it and then dung it. Everybody say, dung it. How many of you have ever had any dung in life come your way? It's in the Bible. It's a freezing night. You can say what you want to in church. You ever had a dungy day? How about one of those dungy situations? We throw the dung out. But if we say, God, I'm going through some dung here, and God, I need to turn it into fertilizer. I need to turn this into your glory some way. Can you use this negative situation that I've experienced, self-inflicted or inadverted? It's demonic. It doesn't make any difference. God, I'm going to dig about it. You know what you do when you dig about? You break up that ground. You make it where that root system can go a little bit further because it's tapped out everything right there. And you soften up that soil. I don't claim to be a big farmer. My mother was. My mama, we had about an acre close to an acre every year that they farmed. They had a big old red horse, and I remember as a kid riding on the back of that horse, and that plow would be breaking that ground up, and I didn't understand all of the process and mechanics. I just liked it as I got to ride the horse. And then the peas finally would show up, and I had to go pick bushels of peas. And anybody like purple hulls? That's right, y'all fasting. I better not talk about food. Sorry, just. But we'd break the ground up. And then they'd come and they'd fertilize it a little bit. And then we'd come and we'd drop those peas in it. There was five of us boys, and I have two younger sisters. And we all were out there. We weren't good farmers. My mother was a good farmer. We were just doing what we were told to do. As much as I enjoyed eating peas and stuff, you'd think, or much as I despised having to go out there and work in it sometime, you wouldn't think I liked them so much. But the fact remains, if you break it up, there's areas in your life you have to break up, loosen them up. I'm not talking about breaking up with your husband, breaking up with your wife. Don't let the devil deceive you on crazy stuff. I'm just talking about there's stuff in your life. God talks to you about breaking up. And then you've been through that dung process. We had a dung pile. Anybody ever have a dung pile? I had a lady, her last name was Braswell. And she had a big yard when I was a teenage boy. And so on Saturdays, I'd make extra money by mowing her yard. And she raised azaleas and camellias. And there was a competition in the little town I grew up in to have the yard of the month. And this lady owned a woman's dress shop. She was a little bit older woman. But I'm telling you, she was to the nine all the time. I mean, she was there. She was dressed out to the nines. And she wanted her azaleas and camellias. She wanted those things blooming in season. And she wanted her yard just manicured. And so that's what I did. And we actually won Yard of the Month several times, which was, you know, a great credit the couple of years that I worked there for her. On Saturdays. And it was an interesting thing because she used sheep dung, sheep manure. And I'm just telling you, I grew to despise dung because she believed in a whole lot of dung. Am I talking to anybody in here? Your adversary, the devil, will work overtime to put that in your life. But God has anointed you to turn that somehow into something good. And your life will begin to produce fruit. Has anyone ever been through some bad times in life? I'm just asking an obvious question. You go through things in life, but you don't turn your back on God. You just say, look, God loves me too much to hurt me. He's too wise to make a mistake. So this thing I'm going through is either self-inflicted or it's demonic, one of the two. Either way, I have the victory over that. I can break that ground up some way. I can turn that situation that doesn't smell too good about my life, I can turn that into the glory of God somewhere. I'm going to get somebody else saved. I'm going to see to it somebody else never goes through the same thing I went through. The Son has set me free. I'm going to help set someone else free. I'm going to bear fruit regardless of the circumstance. God knows how to take your negative and cause you to be able to grow from it. He's not the one who did it to you. He's the one who went through it with you. His anointing's in you. His glory is there. We live in that kind of a day. We live in that kind of a world. The Lord began to talk to me about some powerful things. And these things truly begin to resonate in my spirit. There's some things about 24, about this year, that might witness to you. They might speak to you. Let me share a couple of things with you. Do you want to hear it? Do you still have some time? Are y'all doing okay tonight? Is this all right? Are you glad you came to church? Come on, don't you love your church? God's blessed you with a great church right here. I know you have great teaching in this church. We're in the Hebrew year 5784, which corresponds to the Gregorian calendar, which we have here, of 2024. So 5784 is the Hebrew year. 2024 is the calendar year that we go by. And I prophesy that 2024 is a year of power, of the power of God. Pastor, when you study, in the, I know you like study, The word dunamis, the word that power word that we get in the scriptures, dunamis is in the Bible 24 times. I think we're in a year of the power of God. God uses numbers sometimes to speak to his people. It's interesting. The word lamb is 24 times in Revelation. That's interesting. And it speaks of that prophetic role, the messianic, the Messiah, the sacrificial role of Jesus, 24 different times. So that's very interesting. There are 24 elders around the throne in Revelation. 5784, that calendar applies in that Hebrew calendar. The 84th verse in the Bible is when Abel brought his offering to God in Genesis 4:4, and it was accepted. This is a year of divine supernatural offerings and divine recompense. Come on, shout hallelujah. It's very interesting. In Matthew 4:20 is the 84th verse in the New Testament. And it says, straightway they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their nets and followed. There are things in this year that God's going to speak to you about that are holding you back, that immediately you can let them go and you'll see the promotion of God. You'll begin to see it. Does anybody receive this for themselves? These are powerful words, and I think they're very strong. They're very powerful in the Word of God. 5784, the 5,784th verse in the Bible is an interesting verse, and I believe it's a prophetic word, Pastor. I believe it's a prophetic word for Israel. I'm not going to try to get over on Israel. But listen to this in Deuteronomy. 5784. It's in chapter 32. Let me just get there. Everybody doing okay? Y'all just talk among yourselves while I find it. Here it is right here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 25. The sword from without and terror from within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hair. And that's exactly what Hamas did when they came in and killed those babies, captured almost 2,000 people, and just slaughtered people. It's interesting that 5784 says that in the scriptures. I think it's extremely interesting. 24 is the number of the priesthood also. The word judge is 24 times in the New Testament. How many of you are glad Jesus is the righteous judge, the Bible says? He speaks of upgrade, of authority, of rewards in 24. Glory to God. 24 is an interesting number. And God works in times and seasons, and that's the time and the season that we are in right now. A season, a time of open doors. 5784, actually, the symbol that goes along with that Hebrew number 5784 is that symbol of an open door. Hallelujah. I believe this is a year where the judge, Jesus himself, will rule in delivering freedom, freedom imparting words and anointings that will be in people's lives. Look, I know God can set anybody free any day, but there are times and seasons that God operates in. We're moving into a season and a time of the delivering power of God. I heard people say many times, and I relate very strongly to this, that the move of God that we believe for is going to take miracles, signs, and wonders. A powerful thing, because people are so ingrained in the spirit of the age that we have right now. That's why we are moving into a season in 24 of the delivering power of God. Somebody give God the praise. Begin to expect it. There's 24 time zones. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 24 hours, elders around the throne of God. The midnight hour is the 24th hour. We're in that time. We're living in that. The word watchful is in the Bible 24 times. Be watchful. The word repentance is 24 times in the Bible. I think that's interesting. 24 of Jesus' 36 miracles in the Bible are healing miracles. Expect every time your adversary, the devil, tries to put some kind of infirmity on you, expect to be set free. Somebody shout hallelujah. The 24th time Jesus, somebody on TV needs to hear this. The 24th time Jesus is mentioned in the Bible is when he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Expect miracles of intervention, miracles of deliverance, miracles of healing between families. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Later on, she begins to serve. God healed her, and she begins to serve. You say, I didn't know Peter had a wife. Well, he had a mother-in-law. That pretty well clears it up for me. How about you? Very strong right there. It's very real. I believe this anointing of recompense, Hebrews 10:35. There is a recompense of reward. One of the things the Lord said to me in my time is about up for this evening. How many of you are going to come back tomorrow night? Listen. When the Lord appeared to me, he said, you keep your witness. You remain faithful in your time of grief. He said, I'll give you a double recompense all the days of your life. It was very real to me. It was very powerful. It was in 2002. Some amazing things begin to take place. I don't tell this out to very many people. Seriously, I don't know why I'm telling it tonight here. And some powerful things begin to happen. I'm the part owner of a company right now. Is it all right if I tell some of this out? I'm a part owner of a company right now. We're working with the government of Colombia, and we've just started a thing in Brazil for gold mines. And our machines that we have built and have patents on, the machine along with this process that we've come up with, we get a percentage of the production of the mines. Look, I'm a country boy, grew up in Jasper, Texas, weaned on a pine cone, I promise you. If you'd have told me that I'd be talking with government officials in other countries like that, I'd have said, how could that ever have happened? How could it ever happen? I'm a preacher saved by the grace of God. But if Jesus gives you a word, you stay faithful in those times. You dung the ground with it. Are you listening to me? You give it to God. You turn it into, in all things, you give thanks, not for all things, in all things, you give thanks unto God. You remember, he'll go through the fire with you, Shadrach. Are you listening, Daniel? He'll go through the lion's den with you. And if you're running at a giant, run with your mouth wide open, David, and declare the glory of God. Take those dung situations of life that you deal with and turn it into the glory of God. And the Bible says you'll bear fruit. He said it'll become productive. I'm not sure why God gave us year one, year two, year three in that particular parable when Jesus is talking. But all I'm focused on is that one more year. And I believe that's the fourth year, and I think that's what we're in right here in 2024. It's our year in the name of Jesus. Something good is going to break forth for you in this year. Come on, shout hallelujah. Just dig about it. Interceding. Fasting, prayer, soften up the heart of your soul, your soil, your soul. That's necessary. Dig about it. Let God dig around in your life. Let him take the sword, the plow of God, and just stick it in the ground around your life. Let him break that up. Let him tenderize it. We're coming to church. I know you love God. You're here tonight. But coming to church is not It's not something you have to do. It's something we get to do. Oh, glory to God. We get to fellowship together. The Bible doesn't say, unto me a child is born. It says, unto us. It says, unto us. Unto us. There's more to you than you. You're part of the us. The house of God. The family of God. The people of God. The body of Christ. I know you can pray and get an answer, but sometimes it takes us to cause that breaking up of the fallow ground and for that productivity. Because some things that you come up against, you can cause it to leave, but sometimes it takes two or more in agreement. There's an us there. It's that year, it's that time. We're in that season today in the name of Jesus. Cindy, come up here if you would, please, if you're not already up here. Come up here and help me. I remember Cindy's name because my wife of 38 years is named Cindy, so that's an easy one for me to remember, isn't it? Hallelujah. God is good. I said, God is good. Can you just lift your hands and bless the Lord?